Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is Pentecost? 50 days after Easter? 50 days after Passover? 7 weeks of 7 days plus one after the Passover. It marked for the people of Israel a Sabbath rest. After 7 weeks of barley harvest and summer wheat planting, it also marked that day when Israel received the law from Mount Sinai, at Mount Sinai, from God, 50 days after they had passed through the Red Sea on dry ground. Then it was the time when the sickle was to be put to the harvest and the ingathering was made. The men of Israel who had passed Bar Mitzvah traveled to Jerusalem with the first fruits of harvest and to rest in the Word of God, to delight in the law of the Lord, to meditate on it day and night for a time. Now the reality is that this Pentecost we hear about from the evangelist is about more than a crop harvest. The time has come to swing the sickle of the Word of God, for the Word, sharper than any two-edged sword, comes down with the Holy Spirit, comforting the believer, challenging the faithless and idolatrous. Preaching broke out. Remember the words of Christ. Lift up your eyes, he said, and look out on the fields, for they are white already to the harvest. And again, Jesus said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Jesus is talking about preaching and those who hear it. Jesus, God's Son, took upon himself our nature and bore it up on high to draw all men to himself, to atone for the faithlessness and idolatry, the pride of Babel, the rebellion of Eden. And for our sake, Jesus himself was first put to the sickle, fell to the ground dead as any seed, but came out alive, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Therefore also he calls, Jesus does, the word the seed in quite a few parables, a seed that needs to be planted in the ground in order to spring up and bear good fruit. So when, it says, the day of Pentecost was fully come, Jesus had indeed gone to the Father as he promised his disciples. For on that great and magnificent day of the Lord, Good Friday, when the sun was turned to darkness and the moon to blood, his blood dripped from that awful cross to the ground, shed to cleanse the world of sin. Then came the glorious third day resurrection that justifies all who believe. And then he ascended on high to the right hand of the Father. So the great miracle day of Pentecost comes. The Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit. The harvest begins, and the harvesting would be done by men, preaching the wonderful works of God, and the Holy Spirit filling that preaching. The mighty rushing wind, the tongues of fire resting on the apostles, the speaking of the gospel in every tongue, God's lavish sevenfold gifts given to his church in a mighty display for sure. But the great miracle of Pentecost is that through the voice of humble men preaching Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected, the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, many will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. The Spirit in that mighty rushing wind filled the house. This filling indicates how lavish and generous the Holy Spirit comes, as the fire indicates the ferocity and strength which he comes with. This never happened in the case of the prophets of old when they were given the Spirit and the call to preach. Perhaps that's why some of the Pentecost crowd took the apostles to be drunk, full of themselves. Ezekiel was given a roll of a book and ate what he was about to utter, and it became in his mouth as sweet as honey. The hand of God touches the mouth of Jeremiah. Behold, I have put your words in my words in your mouth, God said. The angel sanctified Isaiah's lips with a coal from the heavenly altar before God's throne. Elisha received grace through the medium of Elijah's mantle falling to him. David was anointed by oil, and Moses by fire, as we read of him at the burning bush. Now, Moses was the greatest of those prophets, yet he and all the prophets decreased, and the Lord Christ increased. And so the manifesting miracles of Pentecost show here the largeness and lavish giving of the Holy Spirit, and that each man received a fountain of the Spirit. Jesus had said that those who believe in him should have a well of water springing up into everlasting life, and good reason that it should be so. For the apostles and all who preach the gospel do not go forth to argue with hard-hearted Pharaoh or to preach against idolatrous and unfaithful Israel. No, they wrestle with the devil. Notice this too about Pentecost Day. Unlike the prophets, the apostles, when sent, made no objections. There was no, "I am weak in voice and slow of tongue," like Moses said to God. They did not claim they were too young, like Jeremiah did. Moses and Jeremiah had them wise. Jesus had warned them that men would hate them for the gospel's sake, and even on this day, some reject it. But they were angels of light and ministers and messengers of things above, confirmed by the sudden appearance of the Spirit from heaven. So now that the man has gone up on high, the Spirit also descends mightily from on high, and God's great preaching harvest begins at Jerusalem that day with devout men from all nations. Some ancient hostile enemies of Israel, Cretans, Arabians, Egyptians, Persians, Romans, all who had come in compliance with the old law to appear in the temple. These men were confounded. They hear the wonderful works of God coming from Galilean fishermen in their own native tongue, and the works of God they hear are about the man, Jesus Christ, who had been crucified just over 50 days before. His blood was, so to speak, still on their hands. Maybe some had even called out, "Crucify him." Though it is, as Peter says that day about the pilgrims, true of you and me as well. You crucified the Lord of life. Through your sins and your wickedness against God and his word. Peter and the apostles mince no words. They are not afraid. They have the comforter. They have that peace of Christ which he himself promised. So they stand up and they preach. And they preach to the ends of the earth until they can preach no more. And this very thing becomes an unquestionable proof of the resurrection of Jesus. In the midst of men who could deride and make a joke of such things and accuse them of being drunk, and in the future others would persecute and torture and kill them, it didn't matter. The Lord had risen indeed. Alleluia. And so whenever the Holy Spirit is present, he makes men of gold out of men of clay. So said the early great church preacher John Chrysostom. And through that preaching, God harvested his fields. Are you a part of that harvest? Why, indeed you are. The great miracle of Pentecost is that God's word concerning Christ and his saving work has gone out. Nothing could stop it. And the same Holy Spirit gathers Christians from every tribe and nation under heaven into the church. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There is a message for today. Every life matters. Every soul matters. You called upon the name of the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit when you were brought to the saving waters of holy baptism. Each day since, you called upon the name of the Lord given on your baptism day. As each day, faith in Christ bears the fruit in you of repentance, drowning that old Adam and rising a new man each day in Christ, rising anew to live a godly life here in time and there in eternity. God continues daily and without ceasing to raise you up, just as he raises up men and sends them to preach his saving gospel and baptize and absolve and give out the Lord's Supper in Jesus' name to comfort you and all Christians with his peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. God keeps sowing. He keeps growing. He keeps tending and nourishing and bringing in his great Pentecost harvest, you, me, and every Christian ever to walk this earth. Today, our three blessed catechumens remember their baptism day publicly, renounce the devil, affirm their unity with Christ, his word, with you, and with each other, that they too stand with the apostles, prophets, saints, martyrs, faithful confessors and preachers, and doctors of the church across many millennia, one holy Catholic church, a gift from above, gathered and called by the Holy Spirit. We see that unity today in a heavenly glimpse, the holy communion of our Lord Christ's body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. What a joy for them and for us to receive that gift today as well. Adam, Haley, and Amanda, we thank God for you and for the miracle of Pentecost, that the Spirit of Christ continues in you since your baptism, even to this day, and by God's grace continues until that day when the Holy Spirit will complete you in your baptism, and he will raise you to stand in heaven, dressed in the royal white robe of Christ's righteousness. Remember, children, even now you possess those royal robes, and even if you stumble and fall, your baptism into Christ stands firm for you. Here's the truth for you and every Christian this Pentecost day. God began a good work in you, a work he promised to bring to completion. He said, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Nothing, no threat, no pandemic, no sorrow, no grief, nothing in all creation can take that away from you. As the apostles on Pentecost were bold to confess their Savior by the power of the Holy Spirit, so boldly hold on to Christ and his promises by faith, come what may. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.